righty, let me get organized up here. I've got pages. I don't know, how am I going to do this? I'll do this like this. Okay, here we go. So we started a new series. This is week number 3, and the title of it is, How's Your Dirt? Turn to your neighbor and say, How's Your Dirt? Okay. So if that didn't make any sense, I'll catch you up. Let me catch you up. So we're talking about in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, Jesus talks about 4 different kinds of dirt or ground. And when we say dirt or ground, we're referring really to our heart. Everybody say heart, because you got one or you're not here, right? So week 1, we talked about what Jesus said. He said that there is an enemy, and he's going to try to steal the word that's trying to get into your heart. The enemy's going to try to steal the word that's going to get into your heart. And Jesus said, you have a responsibility. Okay? And you know what our responsibility is? Guard it. Guard your dirt. Guard your heart. Okay, that's your responsibility. So that's what we talked about in week number 1. Last week was week number 2. And we said Jesus was talking about a different dirt, a different ground. And he said that offense will try to come in to your life. And man, you can't start a day and end a day without a great opportunity to be offended with somebody. Or somebody, really. It's amazing. And Jesus said, listen, you have these great opportunities to be offended, but we said something, we said it over and over. We said, don't go grow. Say that again. Don't go grow. And what Jesus was saying is, guys, you've got offense that comes into your life. And it's real easy to run away from people, just blow them off, shoot them down, chuck them off the bridge and get out of town because you got offended. And Jesus was saying in this one, he said, listen, you need to, in a lot of situations, stay because God wants to do something in your heart and you'll grow. So if you're in an offended situation, please get the CD. You can go online to YCF. It's free. Or we give out free CDs. So I thought it was really good. You know, what's really, it cracks me up. Rob, every time I'm going to teach on something like that, I have 25 opportunities that week. I had 25 opportunities to be offended that week. Yep. And I'm still here today. So I guess I didn't go. I'm going to grow. All righty. Today we're going to pick up reading. So we're all in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I want to open that up. We're going to talk about the third kind of dirt, the third kind of ground, which refers to our heart, right? Mark chapter 4, verse 7. Mark chapter 4. Now, this is Jesus talking. I like to listen when he talks. How about you? Yeah, I do. Okay, here it says, verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and there was no grain. Okay, so that's the third kind of soil or dirt he's talking about. Then verses, 18 and 19, he goes and explains this to his disciples. Now you all, how many have ever read this before? You've heard it over and over and over, but this was their first time hearing it, and it was sort of like, whoosh, right? And they're like, hey, what the heck does that mean? So Jesus sits down and explains it. The dirt in verse 7, and he explains it in verse 18 and 19. So we're going to read that. And it says, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among thorns. And these are the ones who have heard, but the worries and the cares of this world. The Amplified says, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures and the deceitfulness and the false securities and glamours of wealth or fame and the passionate desires for all other things creep in, write that down, and choke it out, write that down, the word, and it becomes not fruitful. So if you've got your little card here at the top, the title of today's message is weed it, don't feed it. Weed it, don't feed it. Weed it, don't feed it. So before I get into a little about that, how many of you have tried the gardening thing? How many of you at least planted some bushes out front or some flowers out front. The most amazing thing happens to that. It was like, ding! It can be the summer, and I've planted some flowers outside, and then we have 5 weeks of no rain, right? Usually end of July, August, no rain. And stinking weeds come up. They are flourishing. They are green. It's like somebody went and watered all my weeds, right? And I want to go, seriously? Seriously? Anybody ever notice that? And this, like, these weeds are just like, and you know what? I had a laugh about this. I have been living at my house for now 30 years. And you think after 30 years weeding these gardens, I should be done with it. Especially the poison ivy. Okay. Well, really, this is sort of the way with our lives when it comes to spiritual things. So we're going to talk about weeds, all right? And when I say weeds, I'm talking about your ground, your heart. Okay, we're talking about your heart. And listen, guys, if you don't weed or get rid of some things, you're going to end up by feeding them. And you're going to feed the things that you really ought not to be feeding. So we're going to talk about things that need to be weeded out of our heart and chucked away. All righty. So we're going to talk about weeding ground. Now, I want to talk about first three things, or really three areas that Jesus talked about. We're going to talk about three areas that Jesus talked about concerning your dirt, your heart. All righty. Now, he says about them two things. He says about them, But anyway, he says two things about these three areas. And the two things he says, number one, things are going to try to come in and choke it. All right. And choke it means strangle. All right. Okay. And the second thing that he says is they're going to try to creep in. Has anybody ever had some things try to creep in? Not a creep, but things creep into your life. I have. All right. So all of these are referring to, though, he's referring to the Word of God. All right. So the Word of God gets planted in you every time you read your Bible. Anybody read your Bible today? No, Pastor D's preaching. I don't have to read my Bible. Yes, you still should. All right. So every time you read the Bible, every time you hear somebody preaching, okay, or you're listening to a podcast about the Word of God, every time you do that, Jesus says something's going to try to come in to strangle the Word of God. Something's going to creep in to your heart, to your dirt, and try to strangle it. Okay, so now it's really kind of amazing if we would understand how important the Word of God is in our life, right? We wouldn't allow something to creep in, would you? Okay, if we understood that the Word of God, when we get the Word of God planted in our heart and it's being watered, it starts to produce good stuff in our life. If we understood that, would you let something choke in there? Would you let something kind of creep in there and choke the Word out of your life? I don't think so. Okay, so if you're taking notes, we're going back to this. Jesus said there's three different areas, okay, that you have to watch out for. Three different areas you have to watch out for, all right? Now, I could have said 77, but he kind of smushed it into three. Okay, the first one, write this down if you're taking notes. The cares and the worries of this world try to come in and choke the Word out of your life. The cares and the worries of this world are going to try to come in, okay? Now, how many of you have had at least just one opportunity to get into worry since you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yep. Okay. All right. And, you know, when I thought about worrying, I thought about my mom. My mom got married late in life, and then she smack dab had six kids every 2 years and sometimes less. So there were six of us, four girls, two boys. And, you know, I told this before. My mom, when she walked into the emergency room, they would say, "Hi, Barbara, how are you doing?" Does that give you a little idea of how we were as kids? We were not the quiet ones that sat on the sofa reading all day. We were building forts, building ramps on bikes, and this is me. And you should have seen what my brothers did, okay? So my mom, as I got older, I realized, golly, gee whiz, she really worries. She worries a lot. But my mom's best friend, Jean, we called her Mrs. B, had 6 kids, 5 boys. 5 boys, and they're all boom, boom, boom down the row, and the last one is a girl. She finally had a girl, little Janie. All right. Now, Mrs. B, I would put her in the class of a professional worrier. And, you know, I knew that. I figured that out early in age because I could hear Mrs. B yelling all the time. Bobby, don't do that. You're going to break your neck. You know, Timmy, where's Timmy? Oh, my gosh, Timmy's late. Wah! Okay, I knew Mrs. B was a professional worrier. And, you know, sometimes we think moms are worriers. That's their job. Sometimes, don't say yes, you'll get in trouble. Okay, but you know what? Here's the thing. Jesus is telling us worrying, a professional worrying or just a low-class worrier, is one of the things that's going to try to come into your life and choke the word from producing in your life. So worrying is not a good thing to have in your life, right? All right. So, but we have to do some things about worrying. We have to do something about it. Look over to Philippians chapter 4. Let me tell you what it says here. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. This is going to tell you what you do with worrying, being anxious and worrying. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. And I want to go, oh, sure, that's just really easy. Thank you very much. Okay, but it says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. So that's the word of God, right? That's the word of God. And you know, that scripture is written, if that scripture is written, that means we're able to do it. If it's telling us something, that means we are able to do it. You are able to accomplish this because it's written, all right? So this scripture is saying, hey, don't worry. And you might be thinking, yeah, well, Pastor D, I worry all the time about my kids. I'm a professional worrier. That's who I am. I can't help myself. But this scripture says what? Do not be anxious or worry. And you know what, guys? How many of you found this out? Worrying doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Worrying doesn't accomplish anything. Do you know that worrying won't help your kids? It doesn't help your kids, right? Okay, as a matter of fact, Jesus made this statement in Matthew 6, so why don't you turn over there? Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Now, there's a whole bunch you could read ahead. It's really good. Go back and read it, but I'm just going to read 25, 26, and 27. Okay, this is Jesus again. This is the red letter. This is Jesus. He says, therefore I tell you, what's that word? Stop. Therefore I tell you, stop. Stop what? Being worried and anxious. And the Amplified says, perpetually uneasy and distracted about your life. Oh my gosh, that's exactly what we're talking about, right? That's exactly what we're talking about. It's saying that these things, being anxious and worried, guess what they're going to do? They're going to distract you from the word of God, from producing in your life and growing something good. So worry's not a good thing. Now, so Jesus is telling us, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. Now, this is me. Don't worry, because if you're a worry person, you are actually going to go backwards in life. Instead of ever, you should be going forward, right? So by worrying, you go backwards instead of forward. And Jesus is saying, hey, stop your worrying, all right? And it says there's something that can change your circumstances. There's something, what is it? Prayer, right? Prayer. It says prayer, that's in Ephesians, we just read it, Philippians 4. It says prayer can change everything, every circumstance. Now, worrying, we said what? It's not going to change anything. You're going to have a headache. Anybody ever get a headache after worrying? Anybody stay up all night worrying? So now you're grumpy. All right. So worrying's not going to do anything. And Jesus is saying, hey, you need to knock it off. Okay. Jesus also goes, okay, going back to Mark chapter 4 in the verse 19, he says, if you worry, you are going to allow weeds. You're going to allow that worry to choke the word, and it's not going to produce in your life. Guys, the word of God's supposed to be producing in your life, but if you start getting anxious and worrying, it's going to stop. So what are we going to do about it? Well, I'm going to tell you in a few more minutes. So let's talk about the next thing Jesus says. Jesus says the next thing in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. He says the next thing, write this down, deceived by money and riches. You can be deceived by money and riches. Being deceived by money and riches will cause that to come in your life, and the word of God will get choked or stolen, and it's not going to produce. All right. So if you're taking notes, write this down. When you think money is the answer to your problems in life, you'll get deceived by it. Now you might be thinking, Pastor D, you don't know my life. I need some money. Money will take care of everything. And I'm going to tell you, nope. Money is never the answer for your problems. Money is never the answer for your problems. You know who the answer for your problems is? Jesus. Jesus is the answer for your problems, not money. Everybody say, Jesus is the answer. Yeah, not money. Okay. And listen, if you start going after Jesus, not money, things will start getting answered in your life and they'll change. Yep. Thank you. One. Yep. All righty. Now, turn over to Luke 16:13. Actually, I have a fun translation. I just have fun doing this. This one's called the easy to read version. What's not to like about this? You know, I love it when people say, I'm sorry, guys. I usually hear this out of guys, men. They'll say, I don't like to read my Bible. And I go, oh, get the easy to read version. They're like, really? There's one called that? Yes. Okay. So let me read this to you. Luke 16:13. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. Right? You cannot serve two masters at the same time. You will hate one and love the other, or you'll be loyal to one or not care about the other. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. All right. That's so happy news, Pastor D. Okay, but listen to this. You know, we just finished receiving tithes and offerings. You have an opportunity to be the generosity flow out of your life. You have an opportunity to give, right? That's an opportunity. And let me tell you what happens when you become this generous person, when you're becoming a giving person, okay? When you start learning to let God flow through you with your money, you know what happens? It changes your heart towards money. When you become this generous person, this giving person, it all of a sudden it starts changing your heart on how you think about money, okay? And actually what happens, I'm telling you, it happened in my life. Money no longer controls me. Because I believe that I've become a giving person, a generous person, money doesn't control me. Now, that wasn't always the case in my life. 10 cents. You're lucky if you got 10 cents out of my life, okay? But God started doing some things in my heart. So now money doesn't control me. And listen, if money controls you, then you allow things to creep in and the word will be choked in your life. It's just what the Bible says. Now, think about this. This is a dollar, okay? But really, it has no value. Really, it's just a piece of paper. It's got some funny guy's picture on it and some words on it and different colors. It really doesn't have any value because it's paper until we put value on it, right? Money is neither evil. Is this evil? It's not evil. Is it good? Well, okay. But really, it's not until we put value on it. So money isn't one way or another until we get it in our hands. And depending on what we do with money can either be good or bad. Depending on what you do with money can either be good or bad. Okay? So when I say money's not the answer for what you're going through and you're going, yeah, right, Pastor D, I just need $10,000 right now. Really, I needed it last week and it would solve all my problems, Pastor D. I just need it. It will solve all my problems. And you know what I'm going to tell you? No, it won't. No, it won't. Because really, however you got into it, you're going to get back into it. Because it won't solve everything. And you're liable to get back in the same mess. Alrighty? But when you learn to be this generous person, this giving person, okay, what happens is it changes my heart for God and the way I look at money. Money doesn't control me. And then the cool thing is this money can't strangle the word in my life from producing good things in my life. All right. So I do not allow money control me. But guys, I want to tell you, it has taken me a couple decades to get to this place where I'm like, it's money. And I know a couple of you out here, you are just these givers, and sometimes givers is you've got a dollar and you're just a giver, all right? So it's not always about the amount. Now, let me say something about this money here. Write this down. Money is a tool. Money is a tool. Okay, guys? And you put money into someone who's a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ, and you know what happens? This money starts to becoming a tool for God's purposes, God's kingdom, the things he wants to accomplish. It's just a tool, right? Money's just a tool, all right? Instead, you know, if money can control you, it will steal God's word that's planted from producing in your life. Praise God. So Jesus says, watch out for money, because if you don't, you'll have unhealthy desires for money. Watch out, because if you don't, you're going to have unhealthy desires for money. All right. And it'll start to choke the word. So we need to get the right perspective on money. Amen. So the first thing Jesus talked about is worrying. He says, you know, watch out, don't be a worrier. The second thing Jesus talked about is watch out that money doesn't control you, because if it does, that stuff's going to creep in and choke the word out of your heart, out of your life, from producing good things that God wants to produce in your life. Now, the third thing, write this one down. The third one is the passionate desires for things. The passionate desires for things. One translation says the unhealthy desires for things. All right. I like things. I don't want to live in a cardboard tent. I don't want to ride a horse to work. I like things. I actually like nice things. I've had broken down things. I like things. Anybody like things? Okay, but this said, right, unhealthy desire for other things, okay? How many of you have desires? Desires that your kids go to school, desires that you get out of this house and move into something bigger so we don't have, who was I talking to? Deb. We were talking about a friend who had 12 kids and they had two sets of bunk beds. So that's four guys here, four guys, girls here. Just, you know, I think I would have desire for a bigger house, right? I would have desires. The desires. But the thing is, they can be desires that God puts in your heart. Good God put in your heart desires. Or guess what they're going to be? They're going to be bad desires. All right. So you can have good desires that God puts in your heart. And listen, God wants you to have nice things. Okay. But then what is it? Unhealthy desire for things. An unhealthy. So praise the Lord. Look over at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Listen to what Jesus says. First two words, watch out. I was like, okay, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. We were going to do the NIV. That's okay. That's okay. Whatever. Listen, all kinds of greed. So you know what that tells me? there's more than one kind of greed. And usually we think about people that are greedy for money, right? Okay, but this says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds. So there's different kinds of greed, not just one. All righty. Now, greed, this is the definition of greed. Ready? Unhealthy desire for things you want. I just said that. So, you know, when we were talking about money, so I've seen this happen. People who don't have money, they can have an unhealthy desire for it. And then I've seen people who have money and they have a healthy desire for money. Actually, they're healthy spiritually, all right? So you usually think, oh, well, you know, these wealthy people, they're just so greedy. No, I've seen lots of them have good hearts, healthy desires with their money, all righty? So let me read this to you again. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The second part says, life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. Life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. What? Life doesn't consist with the abundance of stuff? You know what he simply said? Life's not about how much you can possess. Living life, you know, going through 80 years of life, your life is not about how much stuff you have, right? And you know what? Jesus is why you live here. That's my goal. I'm living for Jesus. That's what I want to possess more than anything else. You know, that's the right thing that needs to possess my heart. But I can have desires for things. It's just unhealthy desires. And you know, sometimes have you ever watched the hoarders? Gross, disgusting. Okay, that's a little unhealthy desires, don't you agree? All right? I've been in people's houses where you have to walk in like this. Because there's stuff. Okay? I think that's called an unhealthy desire. All right? So if you're having to have this thing, then this next big thing, and the bigger thing, and the bigger thing, that might be an unhealthy desire, right? For things. Okay, so it's so interesting. Once you possess something, and Jesus is the thing you want to go after, you know, it just changes how you look at things. I still want a nice car, and I'm going to try not to hit the garage and bump the fender again. You know, and knock the light off. You know, just go. But you know, I'd like a nice car. That's good. All right, I want a car that's not going to fall apart, and you know, all those crazy things. So we can have healthy desires, but we don't have to have where things possess us. All righty, amen. Praise God. So if your life is all about how much you can get, it's not about that. And Jesus says, watch out, because you'll let those things come into your life and they'll distract you and eventually they'll strangle and choke the word. All right. Now, I'm changing the names to protect the innocent, because they're not here anyway. All right. No, I'm only kidding. But, how about this? I got to do this. It's Sunday morning. You know, it's Sunday morning and you've been attending YCF. We count you as the family. And it's Sunday morning and you get up early and you cut the lawn. And you should have, my neighbor would have yelled at you. You cut the lawn and then you hurry up and you get breakfast and all the kids. And we go in the car to the lake because we just bought the next big boat. You know, one of those with the fish finder on it. Okay. And we're at the lake and we're singing Jesus songs. Yeah, right. And we're just having a great time. Me and the five kids at the lake, just having a great old time. And then we, you know, it's getting late. We go home. We throw the kids in the bathtub. We put them to bed. Didn't even pray with them. Didn't even read them a Bible story. And then, you know, what I got for birthday, I got this, what's the biggest TV screen you can get? I got this big Mambo TV screen. So I go downstairs and I got one of those TV chairs that go back and I go and I watch TV. Nothing bad. Nobody's hopping and undressing. But you know, I just spend 3 hours in the TV chair and then I go to bed. To me, And actually, I've done some of this in my life way back in the day. I have led unhealthy desires. Now, going to the lake's not a bad thing, right? Cutting your lawn's not a bad thing, because I tell my son, hey, it's getting long. Okay, those aren't bad things. Watching TV's not a bad thing, right? But listen, unhealthy desires sneak in, choke the word, strangle it, and you're not producing anything. And you start doing that over and over and over. Pretty soon, I won't see you till I meet you in the sky with Jesus, right? Because it just kind of creeps in. This stuff creeps in. It creeps in, right? All right. Now, church isn't going to save you. I'm sure it's going to miss you. All right. But I've seen patterns in my life where I let unhealthy desire for things. I got the bigger boat. I got this. I got that. I'm just telling stories about me now. We first moved into our house and everybody in my neighborhood had immaculate lawns. Talk about the pressure's on. All right. And we barely had enough money to build the house. We didn't even have the front walk for years. You know, you just marched up in the mud. And so as we got a little more money, we put in the front walk and we're digging bushes. And I was consumed with keeping up with the Joneses. I was. Okay. And I actually just wore myself out and the Lord started. And I would let go of things of God. I would let go of my times with God. I got to go outside and water my plants. I got to go outside and put in a tree. I will pay you to dig holes now. You know, I'm that much smarter. But there was a time in my life where I saw unhealthy desire for things for me that just were kind of creeping in from my life where it should be, in spending time with my Savior who died on the cross for me, made a way so that I could go and live eternity with him. And it just kind of, so, you know, periodically, yeah, the pastor's wife, yeah, periodically I'd pick up my Bible once a week or twice a week, and definitely on Sunday so I can tell my kids, you know, I read my Bible, all right? So I'm telling you, it just happens, okay? And you notice it said it creeped in. Things creep in, and we don't want that to happen. All right, moving right along. So Jesus mentions those three areas, worry, money, and an unhealthy desire of passion for things. And you know what? We all have an opportunity to get stuck in that. You know, probably the thing that I still get have an opportunity to go down this aisle is worry. Oh my gosh, I have the same opportunities to go down that aisle. Anybody have that opportunity? Yeah. You get the phone call at 2:00 in the morning. Guess what aisle I'm down right before they even say hello? The worry one. And I want to go, dumb, dumb, dumb. Actually, somebody called me at 12:20 and it was an advertisement. I still have a landline in case anybody ever has to get hold of me. And I was like, and as soon as the phone's ringing and I'm down the aisle of worry and anxiety before I even said hello. And then I put that thing down. Okay. So, guys, we all have opportunities to get into worry. We all have opportunities to have money control us. We all have opportunities to have passionate desires for things, okay? But let me wrap this up and say there's only two ways anything can happen to your dirt. There's only two ways, so write this down, two ways anything can happen to your heart. Two ways anything can get into your heart. Let me say it that way. There's only two ways, just two ways that anything can happen into your heart. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. These are the two ways. Yell, praise God when you see it. Okay, first off, this is about Lot. I'm going to jump in verse 7. Lot's an Old Testament Bible figure, okay, Bible guy, okay, and it says about him, and God delivered Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing. All right. So guess what? The two ways that things can get into your heart, your eye gate by what you see. Write that down. Your eyes by what you see. And the other one is by what you hear. That's how things get in your dirt. That's how things get in your heart. Just two ways. Thank goodness. I only have to figure out two, right? Two ways, right? And Jesus says, watch out. Jesus says, watch out what you hear. and how you hear. Watch out what you hear and what you, and how you hear. And you know, some people think it's a joke. Like, Pastor D, I can watch anything I want. I can see anything I want. I'm a big person. Are you kidding me? No, no, no. Jesus says, watch out what you hear and how you hear. So you know why he says that? Because things that you see, things that you hear are going to try to creep in, choke the word, strangle it so it doesn't bear fruit in your life. End of story. And you know what he does here? He compares all of that to weeds. Everybody say weeds. He's comparing it to weeds, all right? Weeds that can get into our life. That's all he's saying here. All right, so weeds try to get into our life. And what do they try to do? Choke and strangle the word so it won't produce in your life, all right? So guess what? We have to do something with the weeds. We have to do something with the weeds. Now, I don't want to weed your garden. I don't even want to weed mine. But listen, but talking about really our heart, we have to take care of our heart. We have to weed our heart. Okay, you know, that 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, what you see, what you hear began to torment his soul. Torment his soul. Lot. We're talking about Lot. The thing that he saw every day, the things that he heard every day started tormenting his soul. Well, what's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Especially this baby up here, okay? Now, torment means to wear down over and over. Something that's hitting you over and over. That's tormenting, all righty? So you know this. You keep hearing something over and over, what's it going to do? Wear you out. Okay, you keep seeing something over and over. What's it going to do? Just wear you out. And Jesus says this stuff is going to try to come in and it'll be like a weed. It'll be like a weed and it's going to choke the word from producing in your life. So we have to do something about weeds, right? We have to do something about weeds. And some of you are looking at me like, weed, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter. Pastor D, it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters. Weeds matter in your life, okay? And listen, can I tell you something? It's not my job. It is not my job to tell you what you should watch and what you shouldn't, unless you ask me, okay? And years ago, what was the whatever denomination had a whole list of movies you were allowed to go see. Shh, don't say that word, okay? And pastors would get up and tell you the things you were allowed to go see and what you weren't allowed to go see, right? And what music you were allowed, and that music you can't go listen to. It's not my job. You know whose job that is? The Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and he's so sweet. You don't want me telling you because I'm sometimes not so sweet. Like, what are you, idiots? Okay, Holy Spirit never says that. He's just adorable, all right? So, but listen, my job is to tell you guys, this is the Word of God, and you might have to make just some adjustments on the things in your life so that you'll say, oh, that weed's choking my life. I think I would like the Word to produce in my life, all right? Praise God. Everybody say weeds. Don't feed it. Amen. All right. I'm going to close up and let me say this. I think you all know this, but everything that winds up in your life starts in your thoughts. Everything winds up in life starts with your thoughts. Starts with your thoughts. So let's put it this way. What you see, what you hear all the time ends up by going up here, right? So you can't say, well, I just cussed this person out. I don't know how it happened. Liar, 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 pants on fire. It started with thoughts, right? It did. It started with, how about, okay, I won't give you any more of those examples already. So it starts with thoughts. It starts with thoughts. And so when I say not to let things in your heart, it really, I'm talking about getting things up here, all right? Because you're thinking of this big heart. No, don't let things get up into here. Don't let the negative things get up in here. Because once they get stuck up here, you're eventually going to act on it. All right? You're seeing, you're listening to this person just be a real stinker doodle. Just constantly, rah, 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 rah. Your boss is just on you, rah, rah, rah. And one day you just keep seeing it, hearing it over and over, and you just go ballistic because you've been thinking about this idiot boss I have, and if I could just tell him a few things, who does he think he is? And then you just, and you get fired, okay? So things that you see over and over and over, things that you hear over and over and over in your life, eventually you're going to act on it. Now, everybody say, but what if? What if we can do this positive thing? Say, what if? All right. How about, what if I think more about what God says? What if I think more about what the Word of God says? Like every day, I start thinking about that. What if I actually start stepping out and doing what I've seen, what I've heard out of the Word of God? Wouldn't that be a doozy, wonderful picnic in the sky, right? All right. So what if I start doing what is good? What if I start doing what the scriptures, what the Bible tells me about my relationship with my spouse, about my relationship with my in-laws? Okay. What if I start doing what the Bible says, scriptures tell you about on the job? Got real quiet in here. Okay. So I'm a believer. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and life. He is my life, my Lord and Savior. Okay. And as I read in scripture, you know what the scriptures say about Christians on the job? They work unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23, give or take. Yeah, something like that. Okay. So as a believer, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've asked Jesus Christ and I'm following him. The scripture says now I work for the Lord. I get up in the morning joyful because I'm going to work for Jesus. What planet do you live on, Pastor D? I'm living on the Bible planet, guys. Listen to this. So let me ask you a question. On your job, if you're working for the Lord, would you be that person that they have to write up about? What's the answer? Probably no. Okay. Would you be that person? because I'm working for the Lord. I'm working unto the Lord. Would you be that person that everybody goes, oh my gosh, they're such a pain. They always cause problems. And you're supposed to be working for the Lord? Okay. Would you be that person? Everybody say, no. But how about you start putting scriptures in your life about, study David. Oh my gosh. Integrity, faithfulness, character. You start putting those in your life and you work unto the Lord, not my boss. I'm working to my Lord. Okay. Now here's a question. All right, here we go. You're working unto the Lord. Would you be that person who would be stealing? You know what you're stealing because they have so many of them at the office. Pastor, they have zillions of them. Who cares if I take a pen home every night? Okay, you know, they have plenty of them. I can steal. Okay, but wait a minute. I thought we're going to put the word in our heart. And the word says, I'm working unto the Lord. I work for Jesus. Okay, and listen, when God starts dealing with your heart. Okay, funny story. So this person, the reason why I said the pens, they were getting ready to move. This is about a decade ago, and this young lady came in with a garbage bag of pens. Okay, now our pens are free. They're in the back here, right? They're free. And we go through a variety of colors as we pick the wrong color and round out. You couldn't see when you wrote that one and stuff like that. But she would take like three every time. So God started dealing with her heart. Probably she couldn't pack and move it, but I'm going to believe God. God was dealing with her heart, okay? And she started putting the word of God in her life, and she started to walk a certain way and live a certain way to please the Lord. But you know, people tell me things that they steal at work, and their excuse is always, they have tons of them. It's stealing, right? Yeah. But wait a minute. We're what? Working unto the Lord. Okay, just giving you an example. Moving right along. Open up to Matthew. Okay, quick, move. Y'all smiling at me. Sure, thanks, Pastor D. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This will be my last scripture. Praise God. Somebody said praise God. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Who's talking here? Jesus is talking. Okay, this is not your nagging wife. No, we don't nag. This is not your wife. Okay, this isn't your mother on your case. This is Jesus. And Jesus loves us so much that he's going to talk right here. Okay, loves you. Y'all at Matthew 6:33? But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom, his righteousness, which means his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be given or added to you also. But first, most importantly, seek, aim, strive after God. So you know what this saying is? Go after God. Go after God. That's really simple. Sums it up. It's telling me, D, let's just go after God, all right? So that you're going to say, I'm going after him. I'm going after him. He's going to have first place. First place, okay? Now, why would Jesus say that? Why would he say that? All right, well, because if you don't, what you see over and over and over again, what you hear that you shouldn't be hearing, okay, will choke God's word from producing in your life the things that God wants to flourish and just smush you with, all right? So it'll choke the word from producing in your life. So that's why he says, let's go after God. Make me first. Go after. Make it your main aim. Because he wants things to produce in your life so you can flourish. Alrighty? Now, guys, we live in a really disgusting, crazy world. Turn on a TV show. Not even the commercials. Not even the news. Just turn on a TV show. It's pretty yucky out there. Alrighty? And listen, you can't escape. You cannot hide from the world seeing things and hearing things. You can't. All right? And you can go live in a cave, but you know what? God doesn't want you to go live in a cave. He wants you to live in this world and be a light in your world where you work and the people that you bump into. And so he wants you to live there, and he wants you to be passionate that your number one aim, and so I should be saying, okay, now how do I do this better? How do I do this better in my life? How do I live better for the Lord? How can I be a better light? All right, how can I be a better light? Well, just go after God every day. Get up in the morning and go, God, don't even put your feet on the ground. Father God, this is the day that you've made. I will rejoice. I am passionate for you. I give you permission to lead me and guide me. I hear your voice and I follow after you. My feet are swift to obey your voice. All right? And I make that my aim every day. All right? Now, doesn't mean I score 100 on 100, but that's my aim. That's my desire. All right? So this is what we should say. I love Jesus more than anything. Now this one, write this down. I love Jesus more than blank. I love Jesus more than my kids. Women are the worst ones on that. They put their kids before loving Jesus, okay? I love Jesus more than shopping, hunting, playing, TV, whatever it is. I love Jesus more than, and you fill that in, and Jesus, I'm going to go after you first. Now, you better take care of your kiddos. That's part of life, right? But and you can go hunting. I married a man that hunted everything. If it creeped, crawled, swam, fly, okay? But you can go shopping, all right? But I love you more, and I'm going to go after you first. Amen? Praise God. All right, wrapping up. Week number one, on what we did, How's Your Dirt, we gave a homework assignment that I asked you to pray every day. It's Ephesians, write it down if you didn't know this, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17, 18, and 19. I think if Nev was here, we threw it up on our YCF Facebook page and we put fill in the blanks. But you don't have to do that. Just go read Ephesians chapter 1, okay, every day for your life and for people in your life, all right? Especially if you go, oh man, what an idiot. I can't, that's the person you need to pray this over, all right? Besides yourself. So it's like, Father God, I thank you that the eyes of my understanding are flooded with light. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding. And it goes on for there. All right. So that's our homework from the first week. And we're going to pray this all through. I thought I was going to do 4 weeks on How's Your Dirt. I think I'm up to 5 weeks. So now you have to do it for 5 weeks. You're going to pray this. Okay. Now today's assignment. That was something you're going to do all the time. But today's assignment. Here you go. What do I need to get out of my dirt, out of my life? You just get really quiet and you ask God, what do I need to get out of my life? What do I need to get out of my life that's choking the word from producing good fruit? So what do I need to get out of my life that's choking the word, all right? And you know, guys, you know what I found out? Sometimes it's just little adjustments. It's not, oh man, you are stinking bad, D. No, sometimes I tell a story about myself. Where'd that happen? Anyway, somebody came across my path, and I had a thought. It wasn't an edifying, uplifting thought about them. It wasn't a cuss you out thought, but it was actually kind of a critical, negative thought. And I found out later, good thing you didn't open your mouth, dum-dum. You would have been feeling this big. And the Lord gave me a correction. He said, you shouldn't open your mouth, little dum-dum, you know. But he said, Dee, watch out, you become critical of people. You're critical of people. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that little adjustment. I'm going to work on that, all right? So sometimes it's not big things, but you just ask the Lord, Lord, what's in my life that's choking the word, and how can I make a little adjustment on it? Real simple. And this is between you and God. And if you're sitting here and you cannot think of anything, just ask your spouse. Just ask them. They'll tell you what kind of weeds that you have. And actually, that's weeds, right? Don't think they're so good about that. Okay? Praise the Lord. So I'm going to watch what's in my life. I'm going to put Jesus in the center, and I'm going to put him first and serve him. So let's bow our heads and close in prayer. Alrighty. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Oh God, I love you. I love you that I'm your daughter. I love you that you've made me righteous. Oh Lord, I love you. Father, I pray that this message will help us grow and be better followers of you. Father, I pray for everybody in this place that this message will help them, make them better in their lives, in their light shining for people. And Lord, I ask you to help us in the areas that we struggle in. I thank you. You're always there to help us, but we ask for help in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay. So say, weed it. Don't feed it. Amen. How about we stand up? We'll make our confession to leave. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. Everything I set my hand to, I prosper in. And I'm a good weeder and I'm a light. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, you all shining bright here. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Shine.